is sponsored by Gordon Law School at Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour, an editorial review, is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please visit my webpage at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and editorial review brings you important information about law, about news, and about current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the origin of public school when we come back right after this. You know, under the terms of a contract called the Old Covenant, it was negotiated by Moses out at Mount Sinai, you and I are entitled to 33 articulable benefits. Benefits such as rain in due season, multiplied gold, silver, herds, flocks, and great wealth. Well, George Bush has told us in the last election that what Americans want is jobs, jobs, jobs. But that's not what George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, Moses, or God had in mind when they wrote our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and the Ten Commandments. All of these authorities recognized that real wealth is measured in land, cattle, property, gold, silver, wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil. It's not measured in jobs, jobs, jobs. And that's because there's no money in employment. The money, the wealth, is in private business. It's in private business and sales. You don't find wealth in public business or jobs, jobs, jobs. That's why I contend that it's time that you cashed in on your inheritance and learned how to collect those benefits of the Old Covenant contract, and to collect those benefits in gold, silver, wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil. That's called property instead of credit, debt, usury, inflation, and more worthless paper. Now, if you'd like to learn how to do just that, why don't you call for more information on my CD Home School for Adults and order my free general law CD package at the same time. That CD package is a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's informative, it's entertaining, it's educational, it's free of charge. Why don't you call right now? The number is 417-273-4967. If you're online, you can go to the website georgegordon.org. Just click on the email machine and send an email request for that free general law CD package. Remember, georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. Do it right now before you forget. All right, last time we were talking about David Barton in a series of programs here called The Origin of Public Schools. We started off with Zach Montgomery, wrote a book called Poison Drops in the Federal Senate back in 1886, and pointed out a very startling discovery. The more you fund public schools and the more you increase the funding, the more you increase crime, welfare, suicide, and mental illness. In 1969, we discovered in the Yoder versus Wisconsin case, the U.S. Supreme Court came out and made the same startling discovery, that in Wisconsin, in the areas of crime, welfare, suicide, and mental illness, no Amish people were involved in those activities, but all of the people in Wisconsin who are involved in crime, welfare, suicide, and mental illness have all been educated in public school. Then we took a look at David Barton. David Barton pointed out the very same facts. He said that crime in the public school system is greatest in the public schools. And the polls, he said, now list the top public schools offenses as rape, robbery, assault, burglary, arson, bombings, murder, suicide, and absenteeism. That's the first nine in that order. That was Barton's book called America, To Pray or Not to Pray, commenting on the total divorce of the Ten Commandments, the Sermon on the Mount, the Bible, God, and morality from the public schools. We divorced religious training or religious teaching from public schools in 1962. And as a result, we've gotten a result that comes from that. Now, remember, we're talking about the origin of public schools, and public school is dominated by what we call in law compulsory education. Where does compulsory education laws come from? Where does the concept of compulsory education, that is education that is against your will and over your objection, I hate education, I don't want to learn, where does that concept come from? It comes from the Bible. It came from Moses out at Mount Sinai. It was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that codified compulsory education into the law of God. It is the law. You have to educate your kid, whether you like it or not. So if God told you to stand up, you'd sit down. If he told you to come here, you'd go there. And it's just the way human nature is. The Apostle Paul made an observation along that line. I think it's about Romans 8, verse 7. He said, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. Kind of a wild concept there, you know, especially in America, where two-thirds of the people in America go to church every Sunday. Yeah, that's right, two-thirds of us in this country go to church every Sunday. I'm not sure that anything is rubbing off on us, but at least we're going there. And because we're such a religious people, you'd think that in this country, people would reject public education for the filth and the perversity that it promotes and promulgates. But no, not in America. We have adopted public education in this country like we invented it. We have taken to the 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto like we invented it. Not entirely clear why, but you sure as hell can't deny it now, can you? Now, this concept of compulsory education that Zach Montgomery pointed out. Now, Montgomery said, I'm not opposed to education. I'm opposed to wicked, evil education. There's something about the public school system that is wicked and evil. And it's something different than the parental education system. Now get this, if you give one man the power over his children, and you have 100 parents, and you have 100 children, more than likely, 4 or 5 of those parents are going to do something that's going to be against the best interest of those children. But it's not going to affect the other 95. Now, you give one man this kind of power, you know, the head of the Department of Education in Washington, D.C., you give him that kind of power, and if he makes a mistake, it affects all 100. Now, let's take evolutionary philosophy. Now, many of you people are opposed to evolutionary philosophy and evolution in the schools. I'm not opposed to evolution. I'm not opposed to fairy tales. I'm not opposed to Alice in Wonderland and the Land of Oz. I think fiction has its place in life. I love the movie Jurassic Park. I thought it was exciting, especially when that Tyrannosaurus Rex ate that lawyer sitting on the toilet. I loved it. And I said, bring on more of them. Let's eat more lawyers. But, you know, it's a fairy tale. It's a story. It's something that's not true, and it ought not to be taught as being true. So education is like a two-edged sword. I mean, you can send people to school. You can send them to Catholic school. You can send them to your own home school and miseducate those children. So God came along and he said, okay, I want you to educate your kid. Now, let me tell you how. Let me tell you what I want you to teach them. And it starts off here in Exodus 18, verse 20. And you shall teach them ordinances and laws, and you shall show them the way wherein they must walk and the work that they must do. And in Exodus 24, 12, and the Eternal said to Moses, now you come up to me in the mount, and then you be there, and I'll give you tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that you may teach them. So Moses is instructed here to take these 10 commandments and teach those to the people. Let me ask you this, boys and girls, you adults out there. Has it occurred to you that if God instructed Moses to teach you the 10 commandments, that maybe, just maybe, you ought to be teaching the 10 commandments to your children? I know it's a wild new idea, but think about it for a minute. And then ask yourself, just what is it about the 10 commandments that is so onerous, that is so terrible? I mean, you know, even Elliot Spitzer, the Attorney General of New York, follows Thou Shalt Not Steal, and he's trying to enforce that on Wall Street. He's trying to tell those executives down there, you can't steal from these stockholders and these investors, you know, mom and pops out there that are buying these stocks. You got to stop stealing from them. Thou Shalt Not Steal. That's Elliot Spitzer, the Attorney General of New York. What in the hell about Thou Shalt Not Steal that is so onerous? Thou shalt not steal thy neighbor's car. Thou shalt not steal thy neighbor's bank account. I mean, come on, guys. In Leviticus 10, verse 11, and that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. Now notice here, he wants you to teach the Ten Commandments, wants you to teach all of the statutes. Well, what are those? Well, take a look at Leviticus 19, verse 19. In Leviticus 19, 19, there's a statute there. And he wanted you to teach that to your children. I know you don't like that law, and you don't want to practice it, but you know, I didn't write this. I'm just a reporter. I'm just here to tell you that compulsory education, and God calls this right compulsory education. This is the kind of education that the parental schools left to the parents. Now, you just take dumb, ignorant parents down in Virginia in 1850 in the parental education system. They weren't very smart people, but they taught their children the Ten Commandments, and they didn't have very much crime down there in Virginia. Up in New England, they taught the three R's. They taught their children up there how to read, write, and do arithmetic, but they didn't teach them very much morality, and they had a lot more crime up in New England. And of course, Zach Montgomery discovered that, and he says, well, these parental schools, parental education, is a better program for controlling crime, welfare, suicide, and mental illness than is the public school system, which does not teach morality, which George Washington, remember our first president and founder of our nation, the father of our country and so on, remember George Washington said you can't divorce morality from religion. And so Zach Montgomery came to that very same conclusion. Well, the origin, the concepts that this all is predicated upon was God Almighty out at Mount Sinai. He says, now you got to have education, and you got to have education in my law, my Ten Commandments and my statutes, judgments, and commandments. Now, if you do that, you can virtually eliminate crime, welfare, suicide, and mental illness. The 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto won't help you, but the 10 commandments will. That's what God told you. Now, you've been experimenting now since the 1850s on the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. And you've got the highest crime, the highest welfare, the highest suicide, and the highest mental illness rates in our history. And the more money you spend on public school to teach more public education, the more crime, welfare, suicide, and mental illness you have got to yourselves. Now, if that's what you want, get after it. You know, if $7,000 a year spent per student in the public school system has produced what we have today in the way of rape, robbery, assault, burglary, and arson, and so on, can you imagine the success we're going to have when we raise the per capita spending on children in public schools from $7,000 to $14,000? When we double the spending on public education, we usually increase crime by 4 times. That was Zach Montgomery's report from 1850 to 1880 when we doubled the education budget, we quadrupled the rate of crime. Now, I don't know if those percentages of increase have held steady in those rates from 1886 until today, but one thing is for certain. The increase is there. Whether the rate of increase is the same or greater, I can't tell you, but the increase is there. At least it grew arithmetically, whether it grew geometrically or not. I suspect you'll find geometric progression there, but I didn't check those numbers. In Leviticus 14, verses 54 through 57, God instructed us, he said, "This is the law for all manner of plague of leprosy and scald, and for the leprosy of a garment and of a house, and for raising and for the scab, and for a bright spot, to teach when it is unclean and when it is clean." This is the law of leprosy. This is a law that deals with health, sanitation, and cleanliness. You know, how to take a shower and keep clean, you know? How to peel your foreskin back and clean your penis so that you don't get penile cancer. I mean, it's a wild new concept here, boys and girls, but I just wanted to point out to you that God gave us some sanitation laws. We used to learn this when I went to school. It was called Health 101. They taught us, you know, how to keep from getting head lice, how to get, you know, keep from spreading diseases, you know. They wouldn't let a kid that had measles come to school. I'd say, it's crazy. They used to have what they call quarantine. Quarantine, a crazy concept that comes from the Bible. That's where you take sick people and you quarantine them. You separate them from the healthy population. They practice that down in Cuba, quarantine. Yeah, those commie pinkos down there in Cuba, they practice quarantine. They got the lowest rate of AIDS infection in the world. Yeah, and the people that have the highest rate of AIDS infection in the world don't practice quarantine. Just thought I'd share that with you. Now, quarantine is something that you need to learn. It's a part of education. God came along and said, "I want to teach you about quarantine." Today we don't do that. You send children today to the daycare center. Doesn't make any difference if you got children in there that come from parents that have AIDS. It's okay. Don't quarantine. Don't separate. Don't segregate the children with AIDS from those that don't have AIDS. Now, of course, when you don't do that, then you get communicable diseases. You get disease that comes from that. I just thought I'd share that with you. I mean, if the Cubans down there, dumb as those people are, can practice quarantine and get the lowest rate of AIDS infection in the world, could we learn something from those Cubans, you know, those dummies down there in Cuba? Could we, Americans, Canadians, Australians, you know, could we learn from that? Evidently not, because we don't practice quarantine in this country. We're too smart for that. We've been to college. We got letters after our names. Those ignorant savages down there in Cuba, they can't know anything. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 through 24, God gives us some more instruction. He says, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them." Here's God. He says, "Hey, O Israel." Now, I know you people, you Christians out there aren't Israel. Now, that's just for Jews. Let me ask you this. What's wrong with God's instruction to the Jews? If God's instruction to the Jews was good, and we would presume, I guess, that it was good, unless he had something against them and he was trying to fifth column them. I mean, he instructed these people. He says, "Now listen to me. Could it be that maybe a little bit of it would rub off on us, that maybe that wouldn't be such a bad idea?" It just kind of occurred to me that if the Cubans can get that kind of results with AIDS, that maybe, just maybe, God had a couple of other good pieces of advice that he shared with some other people out there that maybe we could learn from. I don't know, there's a prejudice against Jews and Judaism that if God instructed the Jews, we don't want to do it. So the Jews don't eat pig. And they got that from Leviticus chapter 11. He said, don't eat pig. Now, actually, he told Israel not to eat pig. That includes Americans, Britons, Australians, and New Zealanders, but they don't know that. But let's suppose that you're just ignorant and you don't know who these Israelites are, and maybe you thought that it's just the Jews over there, and the Jews don't eat pig. Do you suppose maybe there's a benefit that comes from that? Just maybe. And maybe circumcision does have a benefit that maybe we didn't know about. I reported on that, dealing with circumcision here and penile cancer. Do you remember that? Just take a look at circumcision there in our archives, and you too can learn a little something from circumcision. It's a health law. So God came along and he gave us a number of statutes, and he said, "Hey, gather around, boys and girls, listen up and learn. I got something I want to teach you." He says, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that you may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord your God, the God of your fathers, gives you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you." So he told us, don't add to the law and don't take away from it. Now, of course, we came along and said, well, that's why we have to have a Congress. You see, we need to send our representatives to Congress so that they can alter, reform, amend, or abolish the laws that you gave us, God, because the laws that you gave us aren't very good. But thank God for Hillary Clinton, Barbara Boxer, and Ted Kennedy, because they're real smart people. They went to college, and they've got letters after their names, and they make good laws for us now in the United States. And they changed these bad, wicked, terrible Old Testament laws that you gave us, which aren't very good for us. Oh, come on, boys and girls, it's time to grow up, wake up, smell the roses, and greet the new day. Do you really, honest to God, believe that God is that dumb? That we need Barbara Boxer? Hillary Clinton and Ted Kennedy to improve upon this law, the law of God? I mean, you may have some differences of opinion as to how to apply it. You know, that's the way life is. You know, people have different interpretations of the scripture. But, you know, Zach Montgomery came to a pretty wild conclusion. He said, if you just leave those Mormons alone out there, they will apply Mormon morality out there, and they'll probably have a whole lot less crime out in Salt Lake City if you just let them teach what they teach out there. Now, Mormons are pretty clean people, you know. You just go out there and take a look. They cut their hair. That's a big step forward in America. All the men cut their hair, and the women dress modestly. And the women out there, the Mormon women dress like women, and the Mormon men dress like men, so you don't get confused when you're looking at them. And that's a law that comes out of the Bible. Did you know that? Did you know that God said it's a shame for a man to have long hair and a glory to a woman to have long hair? And the women out there in Mormon land, the women have long hair and the men have short hair, and they comply with that law. And that's a part of morality. Did you know that? And the Mormons out there don't believe in stealing. At least they don't believe in stealing among themselves. Now, I don't think the Mormons have any compunctions against stealing from a non-Mormon. That's been my observation about Mormon people. But at least they don't steal among themselves. And so they're following that law that says, thou shalt not steal. And I think the Baptists and the Jews and the Catholics will all do the same thing if you just let them choose. Hell, even if they didn't follow the scripture the way God intended, they at least will give it a good shot in the right direction. It'll be a whole lot better than rape in the public schools. I don't think that anybody's in favor of raping girls in the public school bathrooms, are they? Are you Mormons out there in Salt Lake now? Are you? You know, why don't you put beds in your women's lavatory so that the boys can come in here and rape them, and at least they got a bed to throw her on? I mean, you know, if we really want to get insane, I guess, you know, we could make it a lot easier for the rapists. As far as I can tell, nobody's in favor of rape, are they? And yet that's the number one problem in public school is rape. So I think that we ought to start teaching, thou shalt not commit adultery. And that's a wild new concept, you know, but let's think about it for a minute. And if you're an atheist and you're opposed to thou shalt not commit adultery, what are you in favor of, rape? I think all the rapists and all the atheists and all the sodomites and all of the deviants should have a right to practice their perversion. Let's let them go practice their perversion among themselves. Free choice. Give all the sodomites free choice. It'll solve your problem. Because sodomites, on average, die at age 39 from AIDS. Did you know that? That's the average. And they die at age 45. If they don't die from AIDS, they die from some other infectious disease by age 45. Now, if you let people choose, I think they'll choose something different than sodomy. I don't think that normal, average, run-of-the-mill, everyday, garden-variety Americans will choose the alternative lifestyle that is being foisted, being forced upon them in the public school system if they had a choice. Which now brings us to the next step. Why don't you choose? In Deuteronomy chapter 30, God gave us a choice. In fact, he instructed us. He said, I'm going to tell you, choose. Choose life. Choose my law. It's a better program. But if you want to choose something different than that, at least get out there and choose something different. Make a choice. Now, if you choose parental education, I think that, boys and girls, when you read these two books, and by the way, this America to Pray or Not to Pray, is in actuality a synopsis of Montgomery's book, just updated by 100 years. And I think this book was published about 1985. Let me just look in here and see. It's copyrighted 1988, 1991 by David Barton, third edition. There's a new one out. I've got a newer book up there. I didn't think his new book was as good as the old one, so I still cite from the old one. And, you know, the numbers, the years, you know, it's getting older and older. But, hey, listen, nothing's changing. Every year we spend more money on public schools, and every year we get more crime. That's what we're buying in public schools, and we're getting more of it. Now, God said that there's good education and there's bad education, and that's what he's telling you here in Deuteronomy 4, verses 1 through 24. And he says, behold, or he says, but you that have taught you statutes and judgments, even has. He says, but you that did cleave unto the eternal your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord your God commanded me, that you should do so in the land where you go in to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom, this is your understanding, in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all of these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. A nation that practices the Ten Commandments and the Sermon on the Mount becomes a wise and understanding people. Zach Montgomery was a wise and understanding man. David Barton is a wise and understanding man. There are wise and understanding men in America. Not a whole lot, but there's, you know, still 10 or 12 left. George Bush is not one of those. Dick Cheney is not one of those. Those leaders that are sodomites out there that are teaching us this alternative lifestyle are not wise and understanding men. I mean, they may think so, and they may claim to be. And in fact, they go to universities and colleges, and they get degrees, and they confer degrees upon themselves. It's like fools, you know, going around passing out degrees and saying, Bob, here's a degree in anthropology. God, you're really smart. And then Bob turns around and says, well, George, you know, God, you're really a genius. And he gives George a degree. And so they confer these degrees on one another. And then they paste them up on their walls, and then they brag to each other about how smart they are. You know, God has told us, you know, that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So those that are running around here teaching us that there is no God, those are fools. And you got it right from God Almighty himself, so those are fools. And you can listen to who you want to. You want to listen to fools that say there is no God, or you want to listen to God that says those are fools over there that tell you that there is no God. Now here's our God, and he says that, for what nation is there so great, and has God so nigh unto them, as the eternal our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great, that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all of this law that I set before you this day? Can you point to a better law that's been enacted by the Congress of the United States or any legislature than thou shalt not steal, which is the basis of all property rights? You know, you can't own property. You can't have property rights without a law that says thou shalt not steal. God said more in four words than the Congress has said in all of Title 26 or Title 42 of the U.S. Code. God doesn't use a lot of words to say something very profound. Now, the Ten Commandments are the basis of morality. The basis of morality comes from our God, and God gave us the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are the basis of property rights and morality. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Don't rape thy neighbor's little girl, whether she's in public school or not. Hey, I got to give you a reminder here while we're talking about this thing of the origin of public schools. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and worldwide over the Internet. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It's open to individuals by prearrangement. When we say we're non-sectarian, we're not here to teach Catholicism or Protestantism or Judaism or anything else. We're here to teach the law of God. And the law of God is non-sectarian. Thou shalt not steal doesn't have any sectarian connotation to it. Hell, even Eliot Spitzer subscribes to that. I'm not sure that George Bush does, but I'm pretty sure Eliot Spitzer does. Now, remember, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. The Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio logs and schedule and archives. And the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call the law school direct, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. And I guess I ought to give you this reminder, since I'm promoting David Barton's book here today. The sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour, an editorial review, gives credit to the authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. That's why I'm recommending this book, America to Pray or Not to Pray. However, the endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or publications so endorsed or recommended are going to reciprocate. And that's because most of the authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are political, or they're religious, or they may be economic, they may be sectarian, they may be racial, they may be ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not necessarily endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review, and these publications may not necessarily endorse the Law Hour and editorial review. What that means is, I don't necessarily recommend them, and they don't necessarily recommend me. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, just go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct, 417-273-4967. And while I'm promoting over here, let me promote David Barton one more time, or twice. Maybe I'll do it twice. America, to Pray or Not to Pray, written by David Barton, 1988, All Builder Press. If you want to, if you're driving down the road and you can't remember the name and address here, can you remember Wall Builder Press? You know, just picture a guy building a wall with bricks. Wall Builder. A mason building a wall. And then go to Google and I think you can find it. Wall Builder Press. Post Office Box 397. That's for those of you that have your, that's for those of you that have your pencil sharpened on both ends. That's P.O. Box 397. Aledo. Odd name. A-L-E-D-O. Have no idea where it's located. Somewhere in Texas. Aledo, Texas. To help the post office find it, they give us a number, and it's 76008. So if you put Wall Builder Press, P.O. Box 397, Aledo, A-L-E-D-O, Texas, T-X, 76008, I'll bet you they'll get a letter from you. Better yet, you could call them direct, 817-441-6044. Be sure to ask for Barton's catalog. He puts out a catalog probably Just guessing here. Last time I got a catalog from him, I'd say he's probably got 50 books, probably that many or more tapes. I didn't count them, but there's a bunch. He'll send you his catalog. He's got a lot of good information. Pretty wise fellow. People who practice the Ten Commandments are pretty wise people. I got that straight from God himself. All right, going on, let's take a look at Deuteronomy 5, verses 31 through Deuteronomy 6, verse 25. So if you took a look at Deuteronomy 5, starting in verse 31, and you read through Deuteronomy 6, verse 25, you'll see some statements such as this, such as these, plural. But as for you, stand you here by me, and I'll speak unto you all the commandments and statutes and the judgments which you shall teach them, that they may do them in the land which I give them to possess it. So God gave the instruction to Moses. Moses gave the instruction to you and me, and we're to give this instruction to our children. He says further, he says, you shall observe to do therefore as the Eternal your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Don't add to this, don't subtract from it. You shall walk in all the ways which the Eternal your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that you may, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Eternal your God gives you. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you go in to possess it, that you might fear the Eternal your God to keep all of his statutes and all of his commandments which I command you this day, and your son's son, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Now if you want to have a long life, boys and girls, you practice the Ten Commandments. You want to live, you know, live a life of rascality. I think that's what Zach Montgomery called it, rascality, rascals. If you want to live hard, die young, and leave beautiful memories, do not practice the Ten Commandments. If you want to live like James Dean, live hard, die young, and leave beautiful memories about Flo and Flo's whorehouse down at the Blue Room, well then, don't practice the Ten Commandments. On the other hand, if you want to live to be old and full of years, and if you want to feed off of the heritage of your father Jacob, and you don't want to get AIDS, herpes, or VD, and then you want to practice the Ten Commandments and all of the statutes, judgments, and commandments that God has instructed us. Now, that's what education's all about. That's what Zach Montgomery was promoting. The problem that we have is that you Mormons out there see the Ten Commandments different than the Baptists in Atlanta, Georgia. And you may see it a little differently, you Baptists in Georgia, than do the Jews up in New York. And you Jews up in New York probably see the Ten Commandments a little differently than the Catholics out in Chicago or Milwaukee. Montgomery's conclusion was this. You let the Mormons, the Baptists, the Jews, and the Catholics practice the Ten Commandments the way they see fit, but out of their lives, and you'll get a lot better result. And I'd like to second that observation. I think that that's probably just about true, accurate, and correct. Now God comes along and says, now don't add to this and don't subtract from it. You'll see that in Deuteronomy 4 verse 2 and Deuteronomy 12 verse 32. He says, now you Mormons out there, don't add to this. Don't put your neat little twist on it. Just do what I tell you, and it'll work better for you. He went on to say, and these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently unto your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Montgomery mentioned that. He said, you know, if you allow people to practice parental education, which is just free choice, and free choice and parental education does not come from the National Education Association. You don't get that from public school. You don't get that from Republicans and Democrats. You don't get that from politicians. You get that from God Almighty. You know, rights come from God. Tyranny comes from government. Just tuck that one away in your heart. Rights come from God. Tyranny comes from government. The Patriot Act did not come from God. The Patriot Act and Homeland Security came from politicians, came from government. You should avoid government and politicians like you avoid AIDS, herpes, and VD. They're bad for you. Now, education's good for you. Education's real good for you. Now, bad education is not good for you. Bad education is real bad for you, and God is describing here in the education statutes in the scripture, which, by the way, in my Mosaic Law School is chapter 33 on education. God only gave us 133 laws. Did you know that? 133. That's it. 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, which are derived from 10 commandments. 10 basic principles of law generate 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, which are organized into 133 laws. God runs the entire universe on these 133 laws. Isn't that just special? 133 laws. Runs the whole universe. I'm looking here at the U.S. Code. Has 100 volumes in it. Fills up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 bookshelves. 13 bookshelves, about 3 feet long each. 13 times 3 is how much? 39. 39 running feet of bookshelves covers the U.S. Code. And there isn't anything in the U.S. Code as profound as four words. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt do no murder. I mean, you know, God doesn't say much, and he says it in a hurry, but he's got a lot to say, and there's nothing more profound. Listen to this. When your son asks, When your son asks you in time to come, saying, "What mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you?" Then you shall say unto your son, "We were Pharaoh's bondsmen in Egypt, and the Eternal our God brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Eternal showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all the household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he swore unto our fathers. And the Eternal commanded us to do all of these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day, and it shall be our righteousness, if we observe to do all of these commandments before the Lord our God as he has commanded us." Now that's cited from Deuteronomy 6, around verse 23, 24, 25, along in there. Now that's a mouthful. That's a story of and by itself. He says, and when your son asks you, and when your teacher in public school asks you, boys and girls, it says when your son asks, that's parental education. That's not public school, boys and girls. That's parental education. When your children ask you in time to come, saying, "What do these testimonies, statutes, and judgments mean, Mommy? Daddy?" Then you want to tell them. And then God told you, here's what I want you to tell them. Now, you know, if you people can read and write, you can surely go to Deuteronomy 6. And then when your kid asks, you can say, "Well, wait a minute, son, let me look this up in the Bible. God instructed me, he said, when your son asks you this question, what do these testimonies, what do these statutes and judgments mean?" You can read him the answer. And then he said, "You shall say unto your son," okay, now, you with me, boys and girls? When your kid comes up to you and says, "Hey, Dad, what is this testimony, what is this Ten Commandments, what does this mean?" And then God told you, Daddy, he said, "You shall say to your son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt." Can you say that, boys and girls? We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. This is what God told you to tell your kid. That's what I told my daughter. I said, "Hey, daughter, come here. Sit down over here. Let me tell you. We were bondsmen in Egypt." You know, you blacks out there complain about your slavery. Hey, listen, we were the authors of slavery. We know about slavery, too. We're not strangers to it. We were Pharaoh's servants. We were his slaves. And the Eternal, our God, brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Eternal showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all of his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he swore unto our fathers. And the Eternal commanded us to do all of these statutes. You want to know where all these statutes and judgments and commandments come from, boys and girls? They came from God. The 759 of them. You got to learn them. Now somebody says to me from time to time, they'll come to school and say, "Oh my God, 759, I could never learn that." Excuse me. I always turn around. I say, "Hey, have you got a driver's license?" And they all raise their hands. "Oh, yes, I've got a driver's license." Well, did you know that there are 2,000 statutes, judgments, and commandments in your traffic code in your state, boys and girls? If you live here in the United States, I can't speak for you Canadians. I'll just bet you Canadians and Australians and New Zealanders and you Englishmen over there and French and Germans and all the rest of you, I'll bet you got 2,000 traffic statutes, codes, regulations in your traffic code, too. Now, you got a driver's license and you can learn 2,000 traffic codes. Why can't you learn 700 statutes, judgments, and commandments that come out of the law of God, which are condensed down to just 133 laws, 133 things that you need to know? 133 things would give you a proper, a good, a righteous education, which, you know, you don't have to go to Cambridge or Harvard or Yale to learn how to teach your children these statutes out of the scripture. You know, God says, "Repeat after me, dummy. Repeat after me. We were bondsmen in Egypt." Now, that's one thing that he wanted you to teach to your children. "And that you teach them your children." Now, here's Deuteronomy 11, verses 1 through 32. He said, "And you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up." He said, these laws over here, you want to teach them. You want to memorize them. That's what memorization is all about. I remember I went to a parochial school, a Lutheran school, and they taught us all kinds of scriptures. Now, that's totally unscriptural. God did not tell you to memorize the Bible. He told you to learn these statutes, judgments, and commandments. You were supposed to memorize the Ten Commandments. You're not supposed to memorize all of the Scripture. Religious people are like that. If God told you to come here, you'd go there. And if he told you to stand up, you'd sit down. If he told you, "Don't make any changes in my law," we'll make changes in his law. He told us to. Well, here it is. It's in Deuteronomy 11. I haven't got the verse number right here, but it's 11, 1 through 32. There's a statement here that says, "You shall teach them to your children. And speak of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up." You're to teach what? He says, "And when the Lord's wrath be kindled against you and he shuts up the heaven and there be no rain." So when you have drought, it's because God has shut up the heaven. "And let the land yield not her fruit, and lest you perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord gives you. Therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. So he's telling you here with his law, you know, so that they're like frontlets for your eyes. You know what a frontlet is? It's a blinder. We call them blinders. You put blinders on horses so that they can't see things off to the side. They can only see straight ahead. Keeps them from getting upset, you know, when the train's coming down the tracks and you want to get him across the train tracks before the train comes. Hey, horse, just go straight ahead. We don't want you looking off to the sides here. In this same section, Deuteronomy 11, verses 1 through 32, listen to this. It says, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which you have not known." That's evolution in government. Now, here's where we are with our public schools. We've thrown the Bible, the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. We got rape in our public schools. That's problem number one. We have crime in our public schools. We have suicide in our public schools. We're turning out welfare cheats and welfare recipients out of our public schools. Just ask the people on welfare, did you attend public school? Then go to the Amish and ask them, how many Amish people do you have here that went to public high school? And I think you'll have none, zero, zilch. Now, how many of you Amish people are on welfare? And I think you'll have none, zero, zilch. Now, learn a lesson from that. You learn a lesson from the Amish. You learn a lesson from the Mormons. You learn a lesson from the Cubans. You learn a lesson from the Catholics, the Protestants, and the Jews. You know, all these groups of people out here have a system of morality that they follow. I'm not an Amish man. I'm not promoting Amish theology. I'm just telling you that here in our society in America, we got 3 or 4 million Amish people, and none of them are on welfare, and none of them are in our prisons, and none of them go to public school. Now, can we learn from the Amish? Not that you have to join the Amish church. Not that you have to become Amish and give up your chainsaws and your automobiles. Now, you go out to Mormon land out there and the people cut their hair. Well, the men do. The men cut their hair. And they follow a biblical principle that says it's a shame for men to have long hair. I don't know why those Mormons all cut their hair, but I just noticed. I had a Mormon in class this week. And I looked at this guy. He's a contractor out in Salt Lake City or Salt Lake Valley. And I looked at him and said, my God, man, you've got your hair cut. And he looked at me like, huh? And then I had another woman in here, and her hair was long. And I said, what's wrong with you, lady? You let your hair grow out. Now, here in America, the women are cutting their hair, and the men let it grow long. God said, men, cut your hair. Ladies, let your hair grow long. We in America, our men grow long hair, and our ladies cut it off. I mean, if that isn't giving God the finger, what is? Now, those Mormons out there, I'm not a Mormon, and I'm not advocating Mormon theology. I'm just telling you that those Mormons out there are smart enough to follow a couple of those principles of the Scripture. I think if you just leave them alone, they'll do a better job out there all by themselves. If the Department of Education in Washington, D.C., just leave the damn Mormons alone, I think those Mormons can educate their own children. They'll cut their hair. They'll probably take baths every once in a while. They'll probably keep the public schools. I mean, I think that the Mormons out there are communists just like all the rest of us, and they're going to keep that 10th plank and keep that public school system. But I'm telling you, you'll get a better result if you let those people practice their own morality out there. If you leave the Baptists alone and let them teach in their public schools what they want to teach, and let them use their own Baptist public school teachers, and quit trying to enforce upon them alternative lifestyles and sex education and evolutionary philosophy. Just leave them alone. And all of you evolutionists out there, you get the same rights to free choice. You get the same rights to morality. All of you sodomites get the same rights, the same freedom to choose. You can all send all of your kids to the public schools. Teach them alternative lifestyles, evolutionary philosophy, and perversion. It's just freedom. And this concept of freedom comes from the Ten Commandments. It comes from the Scripture. Rights come from God. Tyranny comes from government. God told you to choose, but he didn't tell you what to choose. He suggested very strongly that you choose his law because it's good for you. But hell, if you want to choose sodomy, get after it. But he said, if you practice my law, you'll live to be old and full of years. If you want to practice perversity, you'll die young. If you want to live hard, die young, and leave beautiful memories, do not follow the law of God. You want to stay away from that as far as you can get. Now, if you want to live to be an old man full of years at 92, and you want to live without AIDS, herpes, and VD, and you want to live without divorce and crime, then you want to practice the Ten Commandments. And it's a choice that you have to make. God said, make this choice. Make the right choice. Zach Montgomery said, choose right or correct education. Choose education, but choose the right education. David Barton said, choose education, but choose the right education. Don't throw the Bible and the Ten Commandments out of public school. If you've got to have public school, which is bad for you, parental education, homeschool is good for you. It's your duty. But if you have to practice communism, and you have to practice the 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto, at least put in some free choice. Wild new concept here in America. Free choice. Let people choose. And they will choose in their own self-interest that which is good for them and that which is good for their children. Most people are going to choose what's best for their children. Mormons are going to choose what they believe is best for their children. And I'll bet you that the average Mormon can choose better for his kid than a nameless, faceless bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. And Zach Montgomery brought that up. Do you remember? He said, even though two of your close friends belong to the same church, belong to the same political party, come to you and say, enter into a compact with us so that the majority can decide where your child is to be educated and what your child shall learn. Would you allow the majority to make such a choice? Well, we've done that in America to our hurt, to our injury. So let me steer you onto these two books again. Zach Montgomery wrote the book Poison Drops in the Federal Senate, published by the St. Thomas Press. I think if you went to your local used bookstore and said, Zach Montgomery, 1886, St. Thomas Press, Houston, Texas, plug that in, I think you can probably get a copy of it. The second book over here, I think you're going to like, America to Pray or Not to Pray, put out by David Barton, Wall Builder Press, Post Office Box 397, Aledo, Texas, 76008. And you'll see the telephone ringing here. Let me turn this off. His telephone number is 817-441-6044. Again, that's area code 817-441-6044. Wall Builder Press, America to Pray or Not to Pray, David Barton. Well, there's the story on the origin of public school in America. So let me remind you as we leave the air today that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week in the United States, worldwide over the internet. Now, for more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Remember, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from a scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It's open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has our radio log schedule and archive. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Remember, The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. All right, we're out of time. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, new topic, God willing. Thanks for listening, and good night, friends.